welcome to the Logistics Management Podcast Series. My name is Jeff Berman. I'm Group News Editor for Logistics Management Magazine and the Peerless Media Supply Chain Group. We're really happy today to have Bob Costello join us on our podcast. Bob serves as a Chief Economist for the American Trucking Associations, otherwise known as the ATA, which is located down in Alexandria, Virginia. Bob's been at the ATA going back to 1997 and is widely known and respected throughout the trucking industry as an authority on trucking data and trends as it relates to key economic themes, including things that the ATA produces, like its monthly truck tonnage index, as well as its quarterly truckload turnover metrics. Bob also is the author of the U.S. Bank Quarterly Freight Payment Index and has been a longstanding speaker and presenter at a whole host of industry conferences and events as well. Hey, Bob, welcome to our podcast.
Jeff, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. We're really thrilled to have you on. So, Bob, just to get things started, it goes without saying that the impact of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic has really been quite the game changer in all aspects of freight transportation, if you will, as well as logistics and the supply chain. So, kind of taking a mini look back, if you will, we're 9 months into this now. I know that it looks like help is on the way in the form of the vaccine and things related to that. But let's look at sort of trucking on balance. Going back to the, say mid-March or even before that, before the onset of the pandemic, up to now, just a few weeks before Christmas, can you sort of tell us about the roller coaster ride that the sector has been on?
Well, I think you hit it. It's a roller coaster ride. You know, before the pandemic, I was expecting by the second half of this year to be much better for trucking. And I tell people, it was not the path I thought was going to happen, right? But we sort of got there anyway. Yeah. So let me go back. So before the pandemic, I thought we had been taking some capacity out of the network and that freight was going to pick up throughout the year. And of course, then we get the pandemic and, certainly freight for consumer staples and, everybody rushing out to buy the toilet paper and food and everything. And it was just crazy, right? And everybody was buying all this stuff. And then we hit after that was March, we hit April, May, and of course it plummets. And we really shut down. And then by summer, I kept hearing from fleets, hey, things are getting a little bit better. And by, this fall, we were going gangbusters. And why was that? It's because certainly I'm sitting in my house right now. I go into the office a couple of days a week, but I work a lot out of the house these days. Yeah. And as you're sitting around, you're looking and you're like, this needs to be fixed or we need to buy that. And we're not going on vacations. And so as we social distanced, we're starting to buy a lot more goods than we are services. And so that's why trucking really benefited. And of course, the e-commerce part is just killing it, right? And so so we get into the fall freight season and here we are going into next year and looking and things have improved. Now, not everything's good, right? We've got sectors that are weak because, certainly related to energy and related to some manufacturing and so forth. But that's sort of in a nutshell where we've come through this year.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I absolutely. And when you look at the ATA's monthly truck tonnage data, it tells that same story in terms of sort of the curves and the slopes that things had been on. When we look at, now I believe the ATA data, I don't think your November data has been issued right yet. Is that correct?
That, December 22nd, we're going to put it out.
Okay, great. So it's coming out soon. So if we were to look at the data that is available through the month of October, as you had indicated, things did return. There was a bit of a bounce back, if you will. How do you foresee, perhaps, without getting too ahead of our skis, where we may end up tonnage-wise on balance for full year, full calendar year 2020?
For full year, we're going to be off, 3.6, 3.7%, somewhere in there. But understand, especially when you look at a tonnage metric, right? Because when you look at tonnage, some of the industrial freight, whether that's tank truck, some flatbed, it's really heavy freight, right? And so it counts more in a tonnage metric than it does in a loads, Whereas a load is a load is a load, right? It doesn't matter how much it weighs. So those sectors, you know, dry van's still the largest by far in tonnage, but those other sectors do count more in a tonnage metric than they do in sort of a shipments or load metric. And so that's weighing it down. But understand there are parts of trucking that are up year over year, are going to be up for 2020 despite the pandemic. And it's really related to buying of consumer goods, certainly around e-commerce. That's the strength. Even some of the flatbed freight around single family housing starts will be okay. That might be flattished up a little bit. And even in the temperature controlled environment, if it's related to restaurants, it's way off. And if it's related to grocery store sales, it's way up. So even in that, there's a lot of more than normal, right? I mean, this has been unusual in that we get these very much different outcomes this year, depending on which supply chains you're in, which type of freight you're hauling.
Yeah. Things are so vertical specific, it seems. And, you know, a longstanding theme of trucking obviously has to do with driver availability, driver retention, driver turnover. Earlier this week, the ATA issued its Q3 truckload turnover metrics, and it looks like Q3 sort of made up for the it was quite a different story from Q2, if you will, in the terms of percentages increasing, which sort of points it would appear to an improving market and a better outlook for drivers too. How do you sort of surmise what that data was telling us that was released earlier this week?
Well, you're absolutely right. You know, I tell people this all the time. I'm like, when turnover is going up, what that tells us is the driver market is tight, and you know, and fleets are aggressively recruiting new drivers, right? And sort of often poaching, trying to poach each other's drivers.
Yeah,
and that's, you know, that's actually a good environment for drivers, because that means pay is going up. Right. That's how you recruit a lot of these drivers. It's not the only way, but that's how you're recruiting them. So yes, it went up in the third quarter. It's, you know, not all time highs, but it's up. And that's because the driver market's getting tight for a host of reasons. Right. I mean, you've got this drug and alcohol clearinghouse that is taking out, you know, upwards of, you know, 39,000 drivers through October or November 1st this year that are not driving, that were driving theoretically before the clearinghouse. You also have the ability to train new drivers into the industry is down. And you know, talk to truck driver training schools, some are off 20%, some are off 50% from last year, and some are still closed. And we don't know exactly how much in the end, how many fewer drivers will be trained this year, but it's a lot. And that's a hole that's going to take a long time to dig out of. That tells me that the driver market's going to remain tight for a while. And drivers are probably going to continue to see driver pay go up, which is great for them. And so it's a different, I mean, I couldn't even imagine it, you know, back in April and May, when the driver shortage went away for just a brief period of time. It's back. It's going to benefit drivers are going to see their pay go up.
Okay. Yeah. I think that I just saw that Schneider announced a driver pay increase actually earlier this week. So that's one good sign right there. Given your economist background, Bob, I thought it'd just be interesting to touch upon some of the key economic metrics that you are looking at when assessing the market. And the ones that come to mind for me tend to revolve around things like the inventory to sales ratio, retail sales, the ISM's manufacturing data, housing starts, things along those lines. What are the ones that currently have the most of your attention, and perhaps why, just to give our audience that maybe isn't as economically dialed in a sense of how you approach that?
So you pretty much nailed it, but let me explain how I think about this in a big picture sense. I really think about the freight market as three big buckets of freight. This is a little overly simplistic, but I think it's a great visual, and I think it's It's conceptually how I understand the freight market. Okay. So the first one is the consumer. So let's look at retail sales. And retail sales have improved and are doing pretty well, right? So, yeah. And in fact, just this week, we got more data on this. So if we look at retail sales for the year, now understand that, you know, there was down quite a bit in the spring, but for the year, we're actually positive through November, just barely 0.2%, but still positive for the year. They were a little soft in November in that, you know, the shopping that happens after Thanksgiving was thrown off. And by the way, seasonality in almost all data is off this year. But if you look at what in that data called non-store retailers, it's kind of most of that. I mean, the vast majority of that is going to be e-commerce.
Absolutely.
Up 22% year to date, up 29.3% in November year over year. That's what I'm saying. That is the lane that's killing it, right? As we are getting stuff delivered to our homes. So retail sales is the biggest bucket, and it's doing very well. The second one I'm going to look at is going to be manufacturing output. And you're right. You can look at the ISM index. I also like to look at just the manufacturing component of the Federal Reserve's industrial production. And that has risen 2 months in a row through November. It's still off year over year. It's off 3.5% in November. It's off nearly 7% year to date, but it's improving and it's moving in the right direction. And that is another big bucket of freight. And then the third bucket of freight is going to be construction activity. I like to look at housing starts. Total housing starts, which would include both single family and multifamily, up almost 8% for the year. So again, look at two of the buckets of freight aren't even down for the year. They're up. In November, almost 13% year over year. Single family starts are up 27% year over year in November. There's a lot of pent up demand for housing. Mortgage rates are low. It's really good. And then the final thing is it's not a bucket of freight, but it is the inventory cycle, inventory to sales ratio, as you mentioned earlier, is very important. And that is down significantly this year. But more importantly, it's the total inventory to sales ratio is made up of manufacturing, retail, and wholesale. But if you just look at, just look at the retail part, we are just about at or near. And by the way, the all-time lows were in September. This is delayed a little bit. October went up just a hair, but we're essentially at all-time lows for retail inventories. And this is why I'm telling fleets, even when we go back to not social distancing as much because of the vaccine and enough of us are getting vaccinated, you are still going to have, and that may soften retail freight a little bit, right? Yes, maybe more brick and mortar than online, although online is still going to be very strong. But this idea that as we don't social distance as much, we're going to start to go on trips and go to the movies and go to concerts and go to sporting events. That means we're going to spend less money buying goods, but still that sector can do well because these inventories need to be replenished. If we're demanding that our goods, if we order them today, are going to get to us in 2 days or less, well, they have to hold more inventory. And inventories are way too lean right now to meet those demands. So that's going to have to be rebuilt, and that will add a lot of freight. So you got your three big buckets of freight. The consumer, I like to look at retail sales. You've got manufacturing. You've got housing starts and construction generally. Two of those three are doing well, plus inventories are very lean. So really, if you think about it, three out of four are really helping trucking right now. Again, it's very different depending on your supply chains and what type of freight you're hauling, but parts of it are doing very well.
Yeah, that inventory rebuild piece seems to be a really nice opportunity, especially on the truckload side. And that got me thinking, Bob. I've been looking at the West Coast port data specifically when we talk about, you know, when we think of the big ports, LA and Long Beach, their import numbers have really just been jumping kind of in tandem with sort of the bounce back, if you will, that we saw in trucking perhaps around midsummer. And it really, the foot's been on the gas on the import side for a while. I got to believe that bodes well for the truckload sector specifically. And also it's probably been a key theme of truckload as it relates to the 2020 peak season. Is that fair?
It is. It's a great peak season, right? I mean, we're all out buying, not only, you know, we're buying a lot more goods than we probably normally would. So certainly, let me be very clear here. I mean, there are parts of our society that are suffering, right?
Yeah.
That have lost their jobs. You know, we have very high unemployment right now. It's come down quite a bit. So it's improved, you know, remarkably well considering, but we're still well above where we were a year ago. So let me be very clear. There are parts of our society that are still suffering, and it's one of the reasons why we absolutely need more stimulus. Mm-hmm. But those of us that are fortunate enough that have been able to work, we certainly are able to work at home, and our incomes remain high. The savings rates have gone up. Those people are buying a fair amount of goods this holiday season. And so, you know, probably more than normal. And so that has led to this surge in import activity as this stuff comes from Asia, mostly China.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of freight to haul. And what I'm saying is, even though the buying part may slip a little bit next year, not go down significantly, but sort of flatten out, the inventory rebuilding part of it is going to remain robust. And so I think it can go, you know, great peak season, and it's going to continue into a lot of these effects will continue into 2021.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Just a couple more quick ones here, Bob, before we wrap up. I noted the ATA's president and CEO, Chris Spear, over the years has been pretty vocal about the need for United States infrastructure upgrades. I mean, anyone who drives on the highway with any type of frequency, they can definitely see that our roads and bridges and whatnot are seriously in need of serious state of repair. And just wondering how the ATA views that, just considering that obviously the trucking sector is really reliant on strong infrastructure in order to augment commerce operations, if you will. So how do you view that sort of from your perch, if you will, when looking at the intersection of trucking and infrastructure?
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, I think everybody that goes on the roads and drives on the roads knows we desperately need we need more funding to upgrade them. I mean, it's plain and simple. And the most conservative, effective way to do that is increasing the fuels tax. So mm-hmm. we're hopeful that the new Congress and the new administration in the first, again, we have a pandemic going on. So they may at the very beginning be focused on that. But once we get, you know, more people vaccinated and all, we're very hopeful that Congress and the administration are going to laser focus on a big infrastructure bill, and we need more funding for our roads and bridges. And I think there is a great opportunity to get that accomplished in 2021.
Yeah, that would be great to see. I really hope that comes to fruition. And just wrapping up, Bob, you know, if we're looking out, if we're to sort of look into our crystal ball, if you will, over the next, say, 3 to 5 years, what do you think are some of the biggest things for the sector to be keyed in on and that really are going to require the most effort and attention?
Well, I think we talked about it earlier. The driver is to, in my mind, number one, right? I mean, we can buy all the trucks we want, but if we can't put people, safe, reliable people in those seats to drive them, and again, autonomous is something way down the road that is not going to solve any problems anytime soon. And so that to me is where fleets in particular, but the entire supply chain has to focus in on. And that might be, you know, shippers, you know, and that we've made some progress here, but continue to work with the shippers and carriers work together with you know, not holding up drivers and mm-hmm. and so forth. So to me, 1, 2, and 3 is the driver.
Yeah, no, it's hard to view it any other way. Well, listen, Bob, that brings us to the end of our allotted time for today's podcast. On behalf of Logistics Management Magazine, as well as the Peerless Media Supply Chain Group, I'd like to offer up a big thank you for spending some time with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Jeff. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks again. And for those of you that are out there on social media, please give Bob a Twitter, or please give Bob a follow on Twitter, excuse me. And that's simply at ATA Econ Bob. And also give us at Logistics Management a follow as well. And that's simply at Logistics MGMT. And thanks, everyone. Well, again, we appreciate it. Have a safe and happy holiday season. And we'll see you next time. Thanks.